Now, if you recall from last time, last week, in fact, if you recall from Galatians 3, verse 1, right through to Galatians 5, verse 12, those verses, they form the central section or the central argument of this letter of Paul to the Galatians. And in this section, the Apostle Paul, the writer of this letter, well, he is defending the very truth of the gospel itself. Indeed, previously, in Galatians 2, verses 15 through to 21, Paul has already defined the gospel. What is it? We're saved by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. We're saved by faith alone. And that saving faith brings to us both justification before God. We're declared not guilty in God's sight. And it also brings to us transformation within by the Holy Spirit of God. We're born again from above. We live, as Paul writes in Galatians 2, we live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, the gospel which Paul preaches is a gospel of free grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, and this is the point, and not by the works of the law, which those false Galatian teachers, that's what they were claiming, wasn't it? However, now, as I've just said, now Paul defends, within this long central section of the letter, Paul now defends the very truth of this gospel of free grace, which he has just defined. Even more, as we saw last time, last week, Paul has defended within Galatians 3, verses 1 to 6, the first six verses of our reading this evening, Paul has defended the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. How? From the Galatians' own recent and personal experience of it. That's what Paul does in these early verses of Galatians chapter 3. For as those Galatian Christians and as we today begin by faith in Jesus Christ, so they and we are also to continue by that same faith. We don't begin by faith but then continue by works, no. We begin by faith and we continue by faith. For we're saved by faith and we also live by faith, not by the works of the law. The Christian faith, you see, is a relationship. It's not a set of rules and regulations, no matter what many may think. However, in Galatians 3, verse 7, through to Galatians 4, verse 7, Paul moves on to another reason, a second reason for the truth of the gospel. And this new reason, this second reason, is simply that by faith in Jesus Christ, we are all children of Abraham. We are all Abraham's children. With all that remarkable truth implies and entails. You see, these false teachers were claiming that only those who were obeying the works of the law, both moral and ceremonial, only they could truly call themselves Abraham's children. But no, says Paul, no. For as he unambiguously and categorically states in Galatians 3 verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith, notice that, those who have faith are children of Abraham. Those who have faith. Therefore we're children of Abraham by faith and not by the works of the law. And then in the following verses from verse 8 onwards, Paul proceeds to unpack what the wonderful implications of this amazing truth, what the wonderful implications of this amazing truth are. This truth that all believers in Jesus Christ, without exception, are Abraham's children, no less. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this evening, you are one of Abraham's children. Amazing, isn't it? Now in our text for this evening, Galatians 3 verses 7 through to 14, Paul describes just one of these implications that we are Abraham's children. He describes just one of them in these verses. And it's that the gospel, salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, is the very blessing of Abraham, as mentioned back in Genesis 12 verse 3. For in Galatians 3 verse 8, notice, Paul writes, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. And that all nations will be blessed through you, that is a direct quote taken from Genesis 12 verse 3. Therefore, not only are all believers in Jesus Christ Abraham's children, amazing though that is, they are all also, without exception, they all also receive Abraham's blessing. It's what Paul writes, isn't it? And that's our subject for this evening, Abraham's blessing. I have four headings. First, Abraham's blessing is received by faith. That's not a surprise, is it? Second, Abraham's blessing is available for all without distinction. For all. Third, Abraham's blessing is only through union with Jesus Christ. And fourth, Abraham's blessing is rescue from the penalty of sin. Four truths then, let's consider them in turn. Firstly then, Abraham's blessing is received by faith. Look, if you have your Bibles in front of you, look at Galatians 3 verse 9. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. Now it's clear, isn't it, that those false teachers within the churches of Galatia, those agitators as Paul calls them further on in Galatians 5 verse 12, it's clear that they were using Abraham as the perfect example, as the epitome, as it were, of what they were teaching. But the way of what they were teaching, for they were teaching that yes, Gentiles could sort of be included into Abraham's family, but the way of inclusion was only through the works of the law. It was through circumcision and the food laws. In fact, it was through obeying the whole of the law in its entirety. Indeed, it was through doing just what Abraham did. For Abraham obeyed God's word, didn't he, by leaving Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham had been circumcised. And Abraham had been willing, in obedience to God's command, to offer up his own son Isaac. And that's precisely why God blessed Abraham. And so God will bless us too, won't he? If that is, we go the way of Abraham by obeying God's law, morally and ceremonially. And that's exactly what these false teachers, that's exactly what they were teaching. Nothing's changed, they said. We're still under the law. And so Paul, wonderfully, Paul uses this very same example of Abraham too. Why? In order to show that these false teachers are actually completely and utterly wrong. Effectively, see, Paul pulls the carpet from under their feet. It's a masterstroke, isn't it? So why is that? Why can Paul also use the example of Abraham? How is that possible? Because, as Paul shows, God didn't bless Abraham because of what he did. God didn't do that. No. He blessed Abraham because Abraham believed. Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, credited it to him as righteousness. It wasn't by what Abraham did, no. It's because Abraham believed. Therefore, God's blessing of us too, the blessing which God promised through Abraham's blessing of Genesis 12, verse 3, that blessing is also by faith, not by the works of the law. Do you see it? Now, at this point, it's important, I think, for us to understand that it's not that Abraham's faith itself actually earned for him, so to speak, God's blessing. That's not the meaning of the underlying Greek or the underlying Hebrew, in fact, back in Genesis, no. It's not that God accepted Abraham's faith as some sort of substitute for full obedience to his word. No. But consider Paul's own commentary on Genesis 15, verse 6, as found in Romans 4, verse 5. Paul writes, again, after quoting Genesis 15, verse 6, back in Romans 4, verse 3, Paul writes, to the one who does not work. Strong words, aren't they? To the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. In other words, righteousness, salvation, God's blessing is not something which we work for. No. Even if that work is only faith. No. It's not earned. Rather, it's graciously given. It's a gift. Free gift. Forever gift. And notice too that our faith, and this is important too, notice that our faith is the very same faith as Abraham's faith. It's the same. Actually, there is one slight difference. For Abraham is only looking forward to Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. Whereas we are looking back to Jesus Christ, who has already come into this world. For the coming of Jesus Christ into this world changes everything. There is a difference between Abraham and us. Abraham looks forward. His faith is the same. His salvation is by faith, as we are saved by faith. But there is a difference. He is looking forward. Jesus Christ has not come. We are looking back. Jesus Christ has come. And the coming of Jesus Christ into this world changes everything, as we shall see more fully later on, God willing, within Galatians. But why do I say that it's the very same faith? Well, look at the beginning of Galatians 3, verse 6. So also, in the underlying Greek, that word translated so also, it means just as. That's what the word means. Just as Abraham believed God. In other words, Abraham believed just as the Galatians believe, and just as we believe. Therefore, just as Abraham is accepted by God and receives blessing from God, so we are accepted by God and receive blessing from God. How? By faith, and not by the works of the law. And that's also why Paul writes in verse 9, Galatians 3, verse 9, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. Abraham's blessing is received by faith. It's crystal clear, isn't it? It's not by the works of the law. Secondly, not only is Abraham's blessing received by faith, it's also available for all without distinction. For notice again, Galatians 3, verse 8. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So it's not just for those of Jewish descent, is it? Or for those who have begun to follow the Jewish law in its entirety, who've become Jewish, so to speak. No. This blessing is available for all without distinction. In other words, Gentiles too can be Abraham's children and share in Abraham's blessing. They can become fully Abraham's children. There's no distinction. They can share in Abraham's blessing too. They don't have to become Jewish. Faith works for everyone. Praise God that it does. For I'm sure that virtually everyone here tonight would not be one of Abraham's children if it were not for this truth. Now this is exactly Paul's argument elsewhere too. In Romans 3 verses 29 and 30. But listen to what Paul writes there. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised, that's the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcised, that's the Gentiles, through that same faith. There isn't two types of God's people, is there? There's only one type of God's people, those who are saved by faith, the same faith as Abraham. So it doesn't matter, does it, how bad you are? It doesn't matter how irreligious you are. It doesn't matter what you've done up to this point in time. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Egyptian or Japanese or British or whatever. Not according to the Bible, that is. For by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, God's salvation, God's acceptance, the blessing which God promised through Abraham is available to you. It's for everyone who believes. Abraham's blessing is available for all without distinction. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God that that is true. Thirdly, Abraham's blessing is only through union with Jesus Christ. It's the only way. For notice Galatians 3 verse 14. He, that is Jesus Christ, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit through Christ Jesus. Actually, a better translation is not so much through Christ Jesus, which of course is true, but in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Indeed, it's the very same Greek words as used further on in Galatians 3 verse 26. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It's in Christ Jesus. Now, as we will see next time when we look at Galatians 3, verse 16, Jesus Christ is the promised seed of Abraham. And as the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ is the one, in fact the only one, who fully meets all God's covenant requirements. He is the only one who fully lives for God and obeys God. He's the only one. Therefore, he's the only one who is qualified to enjoy the covenant blessing which God promised through Abraham. He's the only one. For all others, whether Jew or Gentile, they are all disqualified because of disobedience to God's law. Whether that law is known externally or internally, they're all disqualified from receiving the covenant blessing. In fact, instead, all, whether Jew or Gentile, They're all under the curse. Not the blessing, but the curse of the covenant. See this in Galatians 3, verses 10 and 11. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. We're all disqualified, except for Christ. However, for those who are united to Jesus Christ by faith, for those who are in Christ Jesus, then as Christ Jesus receives the covenant blessing from God, so they also receive the covenant blessing from God too. How? In Him. That's how. You see, for those who are united to Jesus Christ by faith, for those who are in Christ Jesus, then whatever happens to Him happens to them too. His life becomes their life. His death becomes their death. His resurrection becomes their resurrection. And His inheritance and blessing becomes their inheritance and blessing. Because they are in Christ Jesus. But he let me illustrate for you exactly what it means to be in Christ Jesus. Because many people struggle with that concept. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, let me illustrate it to you like this. For imagine, I'm sure it's never happened to you, it's never happened to me, but imagine that you've got a ticket to fly in an aeroplane from London to Barbados. Imagine that. Which is where you want to go on a holiday, I suppose. So how will you get there? How will you get to Barbados? By following the plane? By flapping your arms as madly as you can to get there? Magic, aren't you? Will you get there? Is that how you'll get there? Is that it? No. You'll get there by being in the plane. For what happens to the plane happens also to you. If the plane gets to Barbados, you get to Barbados, don't you? And so it is with Abraham's blessing, with salvation, with acceptance with God. We need to be in Christ Jesus. It's not by what we do, is it? Flapping our arms madly, so to speak, in order to somehow gain our salvation? By following Christ in that way? No, that's important to follow Christ. Of course it is. We've seen that in the mornings, haven't we? But will that gain us salvation? No. Flapping our arms madly won't get us to Barbados, will it? No. It's by being in the plane, and so it's by being in Christ Jesus. For then what happens to Him happens to us also. His life is our life. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. And His inheritance and blessing is our inheritance and blessing. And how do we get in Christ Jesus? By faith in Him. For the blessing given to Abraham comes to us in Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. So it's by faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's not by the works of the law. Abraham's blessing comes to us only through union to Jesus Christ. Fourthly and finally, Abraham's blessing is rescue from the penalty of sin. But look now at Galatians 3 verse 13. We read, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. You see, we all need to be rescued, don't we? We all do. We all need to be delivered. We all need to be redeemed. That is, bought out of slavery. But what are we in slavery to? What do we need to be rescued from? What do we need to be delivered from? What are we in slavery to? Well, the Bible again is clear. We are all, without exception, we are all in slavery to the law. To the law. That's what we're in slavery to. In fact, Paul says this explicitly a little bit further on in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. For Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Why? "To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." So we are all, without exception, we are all in slavery to the law. You see, in order for us to be accepted by a holy and a righteous God, we have to keep the law of God in its entirety. We need to keep it perfectly. We need to keep it fully. So we are slaves to the law in that very specific sense, aren't we? We are under law. However, because we do not keep God's law fully and perfectly, we are also slaves to the law in another sense. For now the very curse of God's law rests upon us too. See this in Galatians 3 verse 10, where Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 27 verse 26, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." And because all of us do not keep God's law, so all of us are under the curse of God's law. We're all slaves to the law in that sense too. Therefore, we need to be redeemed. We need to be bought out of slavery to the law. That is, slavery to keep it and slavery from the curse of not keeping it. We need to be redeemed. However, who is to pay the ransom price to redeem us? Who will redeem us? Who? Who will rescue us from the penalty of sin? Who? For we can't, can we? No, of course we can't. So who? Well, the answer to that question is given to us within our text, isn't it? Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the who is Jesus Christ himself. But how did he do it? How is this redemption accomplished? What is the ransom price which is paid? What is it? It's Jesus Christ's very own life given for us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Or in the words of Jesus Christ himself in Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man," that's another name for Jesus Christ himself, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus Christ took our place. He kept God's law for us. And he bore the curse of God's law instead of us. He is our substitute, bearing in our place the awful judgment of God's law which is against us. He died for us. He died for us. That's how the ransom was paid. The curse of God's law was placed upon him. So only one question remains. Only one question. Do you know this for yourself, personally? Do you? Do you realise that you, in and of yourself, that you are a slave to the law? Do you realise that the curse of God's law rests upon you? unless, that is, you have faith in Jesus Christ alone. For Jesus Christ took that curse upon himself. Jesus Christ became a curse for us in order to redeem us, to rescue us from the penalty of sin. And to know that this is true for you personally, you need personally to look to Jesus Christ alone for pardon from God and for acceptance with God. For looking to the works of the law, good deeds, religious performance, they will not do. No, only Jesus Christ's death in the place of sinners will do. So you need to rely on him alone and trust in him alone and believe in him alone and have faith in him alone. For it's the only way. Abraham's blessing is received by faith. It's available for all without distinction. It's only through union with Jesus Christ, and it's rescue, deliverance, redemption from the penalty of sin. Well, may God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may they have all the glory, for they are worthy. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious Father, we are lost for words when we consider the wonder of our salvation. That your own Son should come, be our substitute, be our representative, go and bear for us the penalty of your law which is against us, to keep the law fully for us and to bear the curse for us. That's by simple faith in him, looking to him alone, trusting in him alone, relying upon him alone, we can know justification, declared righteous in your sight, and transformation by your Spirit, that we might live for you within this world. Oh, our God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.